Welcome along, we're back. The Loose Cannon, otherwise known as The Loose Cannon. I think I had other names for the show, but I can't remember what they are. Well, it's been a while, and as usual, in true to form, no script, just going to make this up as we go along. Well, at the moment, it's just me making it up. Oh, I think I have a guest now. All right, let's just cut the music, shall we? You know, nice and professionally done. Just chop it out. Yeah, and just... Yes, well, and I can...
That into the music.
What was that about the music?
Timed that well. I came into the music.
Perfect. Yeah, you were in on the intro, you know. So, you know, it's could be theme music. Maybe we should ask anybody who's listening if they've got theme music that they would like to send to us for free. Of course, you know, don't get any royalties because we're not getting anything. So why should anyone else get anything?
Or maybe a different Arsenal.
So now I'm hearing myself.
A different Arsenal fan song each time, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that was the one.
Yeah, the one I'm loving at the minute is the Saka and Emil Smith Rowe.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah, see, listening to, well, not really, but you know, I've got a different feeling about that song now. You know, the status quo original. What was it? Rocking All Over the World. Because I always thought, what a cheesy song that is. But I started to feel like I like it now because of whoever came up with that song.
Definitely an away fan, wasn't it? But it's good. And I'll tell you what, whenever I hear the original Status Quo song, I replace the lyrics with Sarah and Emil Smith Rowe. Quite rightly so as well. So when was the last time we spoke? It was...
feels like eons ago.
Yeah, was it after... Really? I got a feeling it was like after the Everton game.
No, I don't think we spoke after that. I'm not sure. Let's go back through the fixtures because we are supposed to review the year, so we said. And we better not disappoint our loyal fan base because we know there are so many loyal fans out there. You can tell that I'm being slightly sarcastic there, but only slightly. Right, I'm just looking up the fixture list now. So we can go back in time, do it like that. You know, the most recent first maybe is the best way. I don't know. Oh, I'm just so not on top of my game at the moment. But Arsenal are, that's the good news. To just talk about a game that was going to happen and now isn't, you know, I'm so disappointed about the Wolves game getting called off. Because I think Arsenal would.
I am. It's a weird one because part of me was thinking, well, you know, our players are knackered. And I was conscious of playing two games in less than 48 hours. But there is that, you know, I thought, well, he played pretty much the strongest team against Norwich. So there'd have to be some rotation against Wolves. I thought it was going to be a battle. But I think Wolves were down to their last legs anyway, so that might have made it slightly easier. And there is that, and I do agree with the old adage, of, you know, you want points on the board, don't you, rather than games in hand. So I was kind of like, but on the flip side, you know, I think it might have been a step too far in terms of, you know, because I can't imagine he would have rotated much. Maybe Tavares in for Tierney, you know, and he took Saka and Martinelli off with I think that game in mind, didn't he, against Norwich? What it does mean though, it gives us a full week to pretty much a full week to prepare for City. And I think, you know, I can't remember the last time we spoke, but certainly Liverpool, I think we definitely spoke after Liverpool, and the common consensus was that it was like a free hit, that game. We didn't think our team was ready for Liverpool. And since then, we beat Newcastle, we lost to United and Everton. And I don't think it was, I remember certainly United game, but I think both, to be fair, wasn't just the defeat, it was how bad we were and how timid we were. That's what sort of, and how ineffective we were creatively, relatively speaking. But I think since then, with Southampton, West Ham, Leeds, Norwich, those games, we've looked a different team. And I think the reason for that is Aubameyang's not there. You know, I think it's as simple as that. I think Aubameyang, let's get it right. Aubameyang was stinking out of the house for a while. And, he wasn't able to play in Arteta's system. He couldn't play as a forward because he doesn't link up the play enough. And if you think, certainly, say Martinelli's goal against Leeds, the second one, Lacazette comes deep. And I remember watching Lacazette against Leeds because they were playing man-to-man marking. And Lacazette was pulling their centre-half all over the place. It was hilarious. The centre-half was a right wing type. And what Lacazette did, and for the second, I think it was one of the goals. I think it was the second goal. No, it wasn't. Fuck me, who was it? Oh, it was West Ham. Sorry, it was the West Ham. Lacazette comes deep, gets the ball, and because he's come deep, he's basically got Saka one side of him, Martinelli the other, and he just plays a through ball to Martinelli. And I think Aubameyang wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to come deep, hold up the ball and play the pass. Aubameyang wants it constantly behind the defender to run onto. And Arsenal, I don't think, are playing that way as much. I think they want their striker, their number nine, to hold up the ball a bit more and play in the wingers, your Sakas, even your number 10, your Smith Rowe or your Odegaard, and your Martinelli. I think that's what we're looking for in our strikers now. And Lacazette, to be fair to him, has adapted incredibly well to those demands. And I think that's a big reason for our improvement. And when you put Aubameyang on the left, he wasn't tracking, he wasn't sort of pressing. I know he was trying, and I thought he was pressing quite well. But I just think, he wasn't doing it as well as someone who's made for that position. And I don't think Lacazette is particularly made for that position either. But I think Lacazette is more adaptable, and he certainly has adapted his game to play this way. I still think he'll go in the summer, and I think we'll get a proper number nine in. But I think we'll have to wait for the summer. But certainly it's very exciting to see it. And I think these last five games have demonstrated that. And I was reading somewhere as well, what's interesting is, Aubameyang, I almost feel that Arsenal, Arteta especially, was happy that he came back late, because then it was an opportunity for him to get rid. Because I think he could sense, I think it's the Everton game, he took him off, and Aubameyang had a bit of a paddy, and Aubameyang was shit. Yeah, Aubameyang was fucking non-existent for a lot of those games. And this is your captain, this is your star player you're paying 350 grand a week to, and he's not performing. And he hasn't performed really since he signed that new contract last year. If you think back to the Newcastle game, he missed a sitter, he's missed penalties, he just hasn't looked like the player we signed 3 years ago or whenever it was. So I think, and this isn't the second time. I know he missed Spurs last year because he was late. And obviously he was late this time. But I think there's been other infractions where, nothing's been done or it's been handled internally and it hasn't made the press. The way Arsenal kind of said it Arteta said it in the press, he goes, this isn't the second time. He basically said that. So there's not two incidences. There's more than two instances of this. And don't get me wrong, Aubameyang went to see his sick mum and pick her up. That's fine. But because of Aubameyang being late, he missed the game, because of COVID protocol. So, he's not thinking about the team. Arsenal didn't have to let him go. Well, I think Arsenal did have to let him go. I think, it's a family thing. Of course, family's more important. But I think it was a case of you're taking the piss now. And, now looking at the team, and I think Arteta said this as well. If Aubameyang was playing well and scoring goals, he wouldn't have benched him. He pretty much said as much in the press conference. Someone said to him, is Aubameyang's performance part of the reason why he's been benched? And Arteta went 100%. So for me, it's you see the turnaround. We were bemoaning, I think Arsenal, defensively we have looked solid this year. Aside from the spanking versus Liverpool. But defensively, we've got one of the best defences in the league. But our attacking output, we've bemoaned, and in terms of like chances created, shots on goal, all that sort of stuff, we were quite low in the league. Last year, definitely. Last season, we had like the second or third best defence and the 12th or 13th best attack, right? This season, it hasn't, not much. Defensively, we were solid. Everyone talks about how bad we were. But defensively, we were solid last season after Boxing Day. And so, but attacking-wise, we weren't creating as much. This season was similar. And I'm not a big fan of this XG, but I think it's something to you can use, definitely. Our XG was shocking. And then in the last five games, we've scored 19 goals. So, it certainly has something has changed around. And I think, what I will say is this. You look at the reaction from the players since Aubameyang's gone. The players are fully in support Arteta's decision. And that for me, that's why Aubameyang wants to go. I think Aubameyang will leave in January because he's like, fuck, last year Arteta couldn't have done this because he didn't have the support of the players. Now the players have bought into Arteta's way of thinking, have bought into Arteta's style and tactical sort of decisions. And, they've played better since Aubameyang's gone. They can see the difference now that Aubameyang's not there. So all of those players want to win. Even Aubameyang wants to win, of course. But all those players want to win, and they can see, well, hang on a second, we're better without Aubameyang. We score more goals without. We're more free to play our way. Lacazette is a better striker for us. If I'm Saka or Smith Rowe or Martinelli or Odegaard, we play better without Aubameyang.
Because he can thread balls through. That's the thing. Like Lacazette can almost be like a number 10.
Exactly. He's like a 9.5, isn't he? Exactly. And I think, and that's what they want. I think they want, certainly, I think for now, I get the feeling that they're looking to sign a big number 9, like a Drogba, essentially Drogba. And someone made me think of it, about Adebayor in his peak fits this system. Strong, fast, great in the air. Do you know what I mean? Everything. Just an absolute fucking unit.
Because everybody seems to have one. I mean, not everybody, but when you look at Chelsea, they've got Lukaku, who's starting to play well again, and who's the other? Antonio at West Ham starting to score again.
You've got Calvert-Lewin for Everton, who I'm interested in. I think he's not the finished article, but I think with Arteta, he will be.
He would be my first choice, Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, and Valhalic, I'm saying his name completely wrong, the lad from Florentina.
Him as well. But I haven't really seen him play, so I can't comment on him.
No, I haven't.
And the same with what about the guy that Man U are interested in at Dortmund? Haaland, is it?
Oh, Haaland. Haaland, I think. Well, here's the thing. If you'd asked me that this time last year, Haaland's far too big for Arsenal. There's no reason why Haaland. Yeah, I think Haaland will go to City. Because he's exactly what City need. And that's the final piece of the puzzle. Even though City don't really fucking need him because they still beat teams. Like that game against Leicester is a shining example. Imagine City with Haaland. It's scary. But that's why they went in for Kane so hard in the summer. For me, Haaland, he's up that. But I don't think we probably can't afford him. But then even if we could, why would he come to Arsenal? He wants to go to a team that's guaranteed to win trophies, and City are guaranteed to win trophies. But I don't think he'll go to United because United are fucking dreadful. And they are, aren't they? They're terrible. That team needs a massive rebuild. And Ragnick, I feel sorry for Ragnick because he's basically like a fire stop, isn't he? Like he's just trying to stop it falling apart. But he's trying to play. He's a manager that's come in. And he has a very distinct way of playing, like high press, lots of running, that's not the way United play. United are a counter-attacking team because Ronaldo doesn't press. Cavani hasn't got the legs to press. And that's what annoyed me about when we played them. United was shit, but we were shitter. We didn't take advantage of it. And that's what pissed me off. I saw United with their half-assed press, disorganised,
That's why I objected to it. Not like on an individual basis, they've got some decent players, but they don't play like a team. De Gea's not in form. You know, when you, I think Fernandez is overrated. Cristiano Ronaldo's too old, really, now.
Well, I think he's so, to play the press, isn't he? But yeah, he certainly doesn't fit the way United need to play. But yeah, no, completely. And that's what angered me about the United.
Yeah, game. I was furious after that. Especially after taking the lead. And then, and that was the last game Ober started. It was that game. And then he got hauled off. He didn't. No, he was on the bench. I was checking it while you were chatting. So he was. Okay. He was on the bench. He came on for 5 minutes against Everton. But Manu. What he played most of the game against Manu. He came off 79th minute for Laka. But didn't look like there was any way back, even though it was only 3-2. I never really thought Arsenal were going to equalise it. You know, I just couldn't see it.
We shot ourselves in the foot. Odegaard scored to make it 2-2 and then gives away that penalty.
That was the most stupid thing ever. But I can forgive him, of course, because he's played so well, especially recently. Odegaard is... at that point, I was starting to get a little frustrated with him, even though I've always liked him. I was frustrated with his performances.
Young players are going to make mistakes. I think he's delivered some good performances. He's got some goals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I can't fault. I don't fault the young players because that's the first time they've played at Old Trafford for some of them. What angered me was it's our senior players that weren't standing up. It was
And a lot of people said that.
For me, they weren't standing up and taking credit and taking responsibility. And I watched Liverpool play United a few weeks before Arsenal played them, and United played exactly the same. Against us and against Liverpool. The difference was Liverpool were good enough to just absolutely humiliate them. And there was, Arsenal had chances and we didn't take them. There's one, I think, where Saka should have squared it to Smith Rowe, but he didn't. He shot. You know, there's a few things like that. And I think maturity would sort of, but what angered me was the result because I've got, we've all got United friends. And I had them go, oh, yeah, we fucking beat you. And it's like, you're still a rubbish team. Like, nothing about that performance from United would give me any confidence that United were any good. You know, and it wasn't even the new manager bounce because I thought they were shit, but I thought we...
Yeah, because he was in the stand, wasn't he? He wasn't even managing as such. Carrick was officially manager. And losing to a Carrick-led team was... I felt upset about that as well because I just thought, guy's not yet anyway. He's not even a proper manager. And how is this happening? And Man U are just all over the show. It's just, embarrassing losing that game. I wouldn't normally say that because losing just by a single goal at Old Trafford doesn't sound that terrible, but it was the performance was, Arsenal's performance was.
Well, party was poor. Uber was non-existent. And I think, and against Everton as well, they were pretty poor.
That was even worse.
By dropping Uber, it kind of, Martinelli came in and I think it just showed the players, right, nobody here is undroppable.
Yeah, true.
The younger players vibed off it because it was like, well, we've been working hard, we've been playing well, and Saka has been playing well this season in parts. Smith Rowe's been great, I think, for most. Yeah, he's certainly playing within his ability, but I think he's done really well. You look how many goals he scored, etc. Odegaard, I think, played well for the most part. And they're going to have bad games because they're young players, but they need people like Partey turning up and they need people like Uber turning up. But I'll tell you what, and you're going to be surprised by this, I think one of the reasons why we've played better is Xhaka.
Jack
has come back.
but it does, there is some possible truth in that. I'm not sure. I sort of buy into it a little bit. Not 100%.
Partey has played better since Jack is in that midfield. If you think Jack came back...
I can't argue with that.
Because...
Can't really argue.
What Jack does is... against Norwich, he was kind of a... an eight. He was not box to box, but he was playing between Partey and Odegaard. But they did almost play 4-3-3 at times, like three across the middle. Odegaard was quite, that almost like, I don't know, like right central midfield, but a bit more forward. And you could see him link up with Saka quite well. And then you had Xhaka on the left of the three and Partey sitting deep. And Xhaka, but what Xhaka does very well is, for me, he never shies away from the ball. He always wants the ball, even if it's in a terrible fucking position. He always provides that option. And I think some of the games where we haven't looked good, and I think possibly I think of Liverpool, is where Lokonga, Partey's gone missing and Lokonga hasn't got the experience to turn up and the experience to dominate. And I think Xhaka does have that, even if he doesn't have the ability sometimes, he won't shy away from it. He won't hide. And I think, certainly against Liverpool, I felt they hid. United, I think I felt they hid a little bit as well. I think we didn't get our transitions going as much. We didn't dominate as much as we should have against United because they hid. And I think they were outnumbered a little bit. But with Xhaka can sort of, he can beat the press reasonably well. His passing is fantastic. Like, he has got a great range.
I mean, that's where we disagree. It's like, even against Norwich, you put a couple of balls into touch. I mean, they were bad passes. There were a couple of terrible passes that I think there was one, it was on the left side. Well, he plays on the left, but he put one into touch, not under pressure. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, this guy. And then, but I like his positional play. And then there was another pass, and I think Martinelli was on down the left, and he overhit it, not by that much. So that wasn't a disaster. It didn't go in touch. But then Martinelli had to race to try and keep the ball in play. And that was a great opportunity, and just totally
messed up.
And so, I look at his passing range and I think it's okay. I don't think he's amazing as a passer. I mean, who is? Odegaard, great at passing. I'd put Lacazette above him because they're incisive passes, whereas Xhaka, every now and then. But you look at how many assists Shaka's provided, and it's very low, very low.
No, I don't think he's looking for assists, is he? He's looking to play it, Martinelli. He's looking to... he got an assist, was it, against Leeds?
It was rare,
but he's more of a to quote a Wenger, a bit of a pre-assist, isn't he?
Well, he keeps the ball moving, but I mean, I just don't think he adds very much. I'm not trying to turn this into a let's knock Xhaka yet again, a session on doing that. But I look at him and think, this guy, as you said, he's quite limited, even though he controlled the ball with his back against Norwich, which everybody liked. I thought he played pretty well against Norwich. I think he's been solid. He's been all right.
I think he's better for Arsenal midfield short term than the Lokonga is.
I find it hard to disagree with that. I want to disagree, but I'm finding it difficult because Lokonga is a great prospect, but he's not a finished article, is he yet? I mean, Xhaka, you know what you're going to get. You might give away a penalty. He might get sent off. He might, it's not that many passes he they were pretty bad passes, the ones that he messed up, but particularly the one that went into touch under no pressure. But then he doesn't seem to bother him, does it? He doesn't care. Or I think he cares, but it doesn't bother him. Maybe that's...
He doesn't affect his confidence.
No, he doesn't at all. He thinks he's God's gift to football, and maybe that's a good thing.
That's not a bad thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing because it, no matter what he does, even when he passed that ball last season straight to an opposition striker who scored, obviously. Do you remember that? What was it? Yeah. Burnley? Was it Burnley? Anyway, it was such a shocking pass. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But it didn't seem to bother him in the slightest. I mean, I'm sure he was upset in his own way, but that is a good thing that he's resilient. We're always talking about that, aren't we? That it's really important for people to be resilient to things that go wrong. And you've got to expect no one is perfect, but he's a little bit too far from perfect for me. But as you said, I couldn't drop him from the team at the moment because the team's doing well with him in it. So I wouldn't want to change that. But looking ahead to the African Nations Cup.
Exactly. This is the thing. With Partey and Elneny gone, and supposedly they're going to let Maitland Niles go out on loan, which...
To Roma, yeah.
Yeah, so right, and that annoys me for a couple of reasons, because... One, why we've only got two other midfielders. Why are we letting three midfielders? Why are we letting one of them go unless they've got something lined up?
Yes.
And, which I hope to fucking God is the case. But Roma, this is the same team that fucked us around with Xhaka in terms of money last year. It's Mourinho. Why help that cunt? And we wanted Abraham and they took Abraham off us. Arteta really wanted Abraham in the summer. Roma took him off us. But why are we helping them? I cannot believe, I cannot believe that we're doing that at all. I really can't. So hopefully, we'll see what happens there. I'm surprised that we're letting him go. Although we haven't played him that much, he hasn't had much game time, has he?
Not much at all. Especially recently, he was getting a fair bit early on in the season. But did he play against Sunderland? Did he play against Sunderland?
No, he had COVID.
Oh, he had COVID.
He's COVID or ill. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's why he hasn't played the last few games.
Yeah. He definitely didn't play. I'm just checking. Yeah. Yeah. So that's then Patino. Maybe they think Patino's going to be good enough to play Premier League football because he's on the bench. I think he's a bit young to be thrown in, personally. But
agreed, definitely. He's far too young, too raw. And what games would you play him in? Maybe against Forest. But I would play him against in the Liverpool games because I think if Arteta's got any sense about him, Arteta will go, well, this is one of our best chances of getting a trophy. So I think I would be surprised I think he might play a strong team against Liverpool. Liverpool, no Salah, no Mane. Don't get me wrong, Jota is looking like a player. But no Salah, no Mane, no Keita. You think, well, okay, we might have a chance against Liverpool, especially if we play our best team. And I think it's an opportunity for a trophy. You go to Wembley, which is great for the young players to go to Wembley. For people like Smith Rowe, Odegaard, people like that. I think we'll go strong. I can't see where Patino, apart from Forrest, but also Patino's a 10. He's not really a central midfielder. So I think Arsenal must have something. If I was Arsenal as well, I'd say to Roma, okay, you can have him on the last day of the transfer window. We'll have him this month. Once the African Cup of Nations is finished, because I think that finishes like the 6th of February, something like that. You can have him fine at the end of the month because we're struggling. I think it's just mental that we're going to let him go at the beginning of the month because it just helps. It just helps out fucking Mourinho. I don't know why we're helping out Mourinho because I think as well there's a buy-in clause of it's quite cheap as well. It's like a buy-in clause of like 8 million, which is ridiculously low.
When you think Willock went 20 something.
Yeah, well, that was look how much Willock's done at Newcastle.
Yeah, not much at all. I barely noticed him. I mean, some games when I watched Newcastle, I thought, why ever happened to Willock? And then I suddenly saw him. I went, oh my God, he's playing. he's been so anonymous. And that's the same guy who was scoring game after game after game last season.
Well, it's amazing what you do for a new transfer, or it's amazing what you do for a new contract, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
such a great
thing. Did you see he got offered a contract? He was offered a contract to stay at Arsenal, but he turned it down because he said,
oh, really?
I love Newcastle. Yeah, he said, I didn't take it in a sort of personal way. You know, like when players move on, like Martinez. When he moved on, I just thought, well, he took what he thought was the best career option. Same with Same with Willock. I'm sure Willock loves Arsenal as much as he loves Newcastle, but he just felt... I mean, if I was in his shoes, I would have gone as well. But the thing is, if you're going somewhere, even if it's up north and you're really, really successful, and at Arsenal, he wasn't particularly successful, was he? He was just mostly on the bench.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you'd clearly want to move to a club where you're going to be valued. And I'm not sure if the transfer fee would have played a major part in his thinking, but from that, they normally get some of the money from that as well, unless he asked to be transferred. The deal used to be you get quite a big chunk of that transfer fee. I don't know if that's still the case, but that's how it used to be. You got what, 10%, was it? It's quite high. So you'd get a massive, and also you get a signing on fee as well, right, by moving. So
I don't think he did, but I think he certainly played for a contract. He was putting himself in the shop window, and if he hadn't scored all of those goals and he hadn't helped Newcastle stay up, do you really think they would have wanted to sign him?
Not for that money.
Yeah.
More like that 8 million for Maitland-Niles. I mean, that just sounds ridiculously cheap, if that's true. I'm not happy about that.
I'm not either. It just really goes to show how little Arteta rates him. It's interesting. I don't think we'll do much transfer business this January. Hopefully we'll get a midfielder in. I'd love it if we got a striker in, but I think what they might do is just stick with Lacazette for the short term. I think Aubameyang possibly has played his last game for Arsenal.
It's looking that way. I don't see any way back for him now.
Yeah, and Arsenal would be happy to get his wage bill off the, his wages off the bill, because it's, but it'd be interesting to see what happens with Aubameyang, but when the transfer window starts, really.
Yeah, do you think he's going to move straight away, or are there not going to be any takers?
I think there's a few takers for him. I think, he's clearly... Yeah, I think a slower league. I think a team that doesn't press as much. Barcelona, could be. I think maybe in Italy as well. I think, and if they sign him, happy days. I think, you have to think to yourself, we're losing a striker from the squad. Yeah, we are. But, maybe we'll get someone in short term. I'm not sure. Only Arsenal really know. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think, let's look at it positively. Arsenal have been on the up this year. This has been a good year for Arsenal. When you think about where we were Boxing Day last year to where we are now. And I saw a stat as well. I don't know if you might have seen this. In terms of points accrued over the calendar year of 2021, Arsenal are second. We've got the second most points. Yeah,
so who's more than Chelsea.
More than Chelsea, more than Liverpool, more than United, more than Spurs. We have got the second amount of points accrued.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it really just highlights how bad we were in that first half of the season last year. And this season, we're fourth, which is, if you said to any Arsenal fan, would you be happy with fourth at the beginning of the season? Would have snapped your hand off. We've got a young team. And I think what, the character of the team, and I think this team is a very likeable team because you've got young players who are likeable personalities, like Saka's a lovely personality, Smith Rowe's a lovely guy. And, they're playing good football and they're Arsenal boys through and through. And you just think, this is a team that I like, and I saw it when we against Norwich. If you remember that, after the first goal, it started to get a bit. Arsenal were in complete control that game, but it started to get a bit tasty. Yeah. There's a few tackles going in. Xhaka got booked. I thought unfairly, actually. Xhaka got booked, but he got booked. And Ben White slid in that lad. It was completely fair. He got the ball, but it was like, no, you're not bullying us. And you just looked.
Yeah, I like that as well, actually. Yeah, I don't always go for that. But we've got Arsenal, because of the reputation in past years, you know, after Vieira and Petit left, they seem to be a soft touch. And then it seems like the new Arsenal are not going to be rolled over anymore. Those days are gone. Because we've got Gabriel as well.
Yeah. So that tackle went in and it kicked off a little bit. Ben White was like, not a fucking chance. And then when Tierney scored, Tierney ran past all the Norwich fans going mental, putting his arms up in the air, and ran to the Arsenal fans. And you saw that celebration. And that team celebration was like, yeah, we're winning this today. You're not beating us today. You can try and kick us and we'll kick you back and then we'll score. And I thought about that goal, and not many people have said it, that Tierney goal, I really liked that goal for two reasons. One, I thought the finish by Tierney was perfectly placed. Like, he didn't leather it. Calmly put it in the corner. But what impressed me most was Martinelli sprinted back about 40 yards, won the ball back. So I don't know if it was him that lost it, but someone lost it. Sprints, wins the ball back, you know, pushes the man off the ball, essentially, gets the ball, and then we counter and score. And Odegaard with the assist. And that was just... I love that, because you see that more players running back to win the ball. And I think that's part of the sort of the culture that Arteta is instilling about this, you know, working hard, running back, all that sort of stuff. And I think it was a great thing to see. So, yeah, it was very encouraging, you know. And people, you know, a few people said, oh, it's only Norwich. Yeah, okay, but this is the same Norwich that United had to get a last-minute penalty against, you know.
They're West not Ham. That bad. Norwich are not that bad. I don't know where people get their ideas. I mean, they're almost definitely going down, but they're not such a bad team. I've seen a lot worse.
It's a Premier League team away from home, and we're winning 5-0. I don't care who you are; that's a good result, you know. But it's just kind of like, well, you can only beat who's in front of you. But that's why City is. I think City now, it's not a free hit. I think Arsenal, it's at home. I think Arsenal will want to win that game. I think Arsenal don't have the excuse. Liverpool earlier in the season, we had the excuse, oh, it's a free hit. Now, I don't think City at home it is. I think we've got to try and get a result. And I think, you know, Arteta, get one over on Pep. Arteta will want to win that. And I think with the team that we've got, as long as we have a right back, that's the only thing that worries me. Because Holding... You know, if you looked against Norwich, Holding looked okay, but he played like someone who hasn't played in a while. And I'd rather have Tomiyasu back and put Ben White at centre half. I don't want to play against City with Ben White at right back. So hopefully we'll have one of our many right backs. But yeah, you saw the difference when Tomiyasu went off against Leeds and when Suarez came on.
Suarez. Straight away after Super Tom left the field, a goal was. Penalty was conceded, right?
Yeah. But that was Ben White being mental. But yeah, I don't trust Suarez attacking wise. Is, you know, he just doesn't, you know, he's not good enough to play. You know, it's such a shocking signing. And then, but again, defensively, I wouldn't trust him. But, you know, we need a right back. I'd rather have a right back than Ben White play there. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how we get on. I'm quietly confident. I hope we turn up, and I think, you know, City will almost definitely score because they've got such an amazing way of playing football and such a great strike force. But I think we can get at them. I think set pieces, you know, they're not strong at set pieces, and I think scoring them. But I think we could attack them at set pieces and counter attack. I think. I was speaking to my dad about this. Arteta is going to have to be a bit clever. We're going to have to sort of beat the press. Yeah, you saw Leicester's goals. They're all counter-attack goals. All three goals that Leicester scored were on the counter. And I think Arsenal is going to have to try and maybe lure City in and then hit them on the counter. And they've got the pace. Martinelli, Saka, they've got the pace to do that. So, you know, that's it would be a good game. And then obviously play Liverpool, Liverpool Forest, Liverpool Spurs. So, yeah, it's a decent run of games.
Well, yeah, they look so tough, don't they? All the games look tough, even Forest away. I mean, the way Arsenal are playing, though, as you said, implied, they can beat anybody, really. A City, though, is so hard to imagine beating City. So hard. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's Liverpool's going to be hard enough. But as you said, it looks like Salah and Mane are going to be absent for the African nations. So that makes the task a little bit easier.
How much of a team clock?
Man City, beating Man City, I'll be happy with the draw, quite honestly, against City.
I would as well.
Can't quite see where the win's going to come from. It's not that Arsenal were just growing in confidence, you know, so that's why I really wanted the Wolves game, but I can sort of see your point, though. Maybe just gives a bit more time for the players to get ready for this game.
And City are playing today or tomorrow as well. So City will have to play another game. So it's a small advantage. You know, there's the whole old saying, isn't there, that, you know, your legs aren't tired when you're winning. You know, hopefully City, you know, have a bit of a stinker. But yeah, it's like, don't get me wrong, City are still favourites going into it and they are absolutely class. But I think Arsenal can, you know, can get a result. You know, it just hopefully they turn up. I think with Noah Bamiyang, with Partey's a bit more in form, I think Arsenal seem to be a good run of momentum. Certainly, we're not the Arsenal that went to City at the beginning of the season with Kolasinac in goal and Kolasinac as centre half. Yeah, that was I couldn't understand that at all. You know, we changed our formation. Arteta got it all wrong. I think Arteta will know the team he's going to play. How they play, I think, might be different, but I think he'll start with the same 11. The only one I see is hopefully we'll have a right back in time, but I imagine it'll be the same starting 11, barring Holding. You know, I can't understand why he would do anything different. How they play, you know, the small tactical nuances that are a bit, you know, above, you know, the average knowledge of me and you, I think he might change it. But I certainly think I can't see any reason why he wouldn't play the players that are playing. I think, you know, Odegaard's on red hot form. Saka's playing well. Martinelli looks like he can score every game. Smith Rowe comes off the bench, and I think that's a point. We haven't mentioned Smith Rowe. This is the attitude that we want to see from our players. Smith Rowe has scored 4 goals in 120 minutes, and all off the bench, obviously, and, you know, he's not complaining. He's not let his head get down. He's fighting for his position. And because I think he knows, you know, he can't get a game at the minute, but he keeps on scoring goals. He keeps on, you know, and it's good for the team, isn't it?
Yeah, he's putting the team first. And he doesn't seem to have a bad attitude considering he's on the bench. He comes off the bench and he makes a huge difference. So I'm really, really happy with his performances,
The goal, was it against West Ham? The second goal against West Ham completely put the game to bed. Against Leeds, they scored, if you remember. And I know it's 3-1. They scored. He comes on, scores, puts the game to bed. And it's a nice option to have, isn't it? That super sub. So I think, you know, there's that possibility. City will be after, you know, the runs that he makes. What it means is, you know, the runs that he makes, City midfielders will have to be on their game for the whole 90 minutes. If you bring him on with 20 minutes to go, he will make those runs into the box, those late runs, those almost Lampard-esque runs or Scholes runs, you know what I mean? The timed runs. Yeah. So City will have to be on their on their game for the whole 90 minutes. So, yeah, it's a nice option. But, yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm just excited in the long term about where this team is going. Like, I think, you know, you look at the points total, we'll get... Yeah, we're on target to get 70 points this year. That's a massive improvement from last year. And, you know, that should be enough for fourth. I think if we got, you know, fourth would be great. Even if we got fifth or sixth, which I think we're definitely on for fifth or sixth, then that's an improvement from eighth. You know, I think European, but I think Champions League is what we want. And I think certainly, you know, we're only 6 points behind Liverpool. I know they've got a game in hand, but we're only 6 points behind Liverpool in second. So it's not.
Yeah, it's incredible. You
know, no, that is that. Considering we're halfway through the season now, that's not bad at all. You know, you can't really fault Arteta. We're 6 points off Liverpool, second place. I think Liverpool will pull away. Don't get me wrong. I think Chelsea will stumble to third. I think there, but we're only three points behind them.
6 points behind Chelsea.
Yeah, level on games though, isn't it?
Yeah, level on games. But Chelsea are not. They're not outstanding, are they? You know, so it's no, Arsenal could close the gap.
And I think
it's not out of the question. Arsenal finished third. I'd say it's unlikely, but it's not out of the question. I mean, I see fourth as a real possibility at the moment. The only team that I'm a bit worried about now is those down the road or up the road.
They're a funny bunch, aren't they? They're a funny bunch because Conte certainly got them playing. I think
I thought they were such a joke when I saw them earlier in the season against Palace. They got murdered by Palace, but Palace were in form at the time. And then when Arsenal played Palace, you know, we got a draw against Palace, but Arsenal played better than Spurs did against them.
Yeah,
and they were quite close together those games. And so it was with the previous manager, and I wished they'd stuck with the previous manager because I thought Arsenal were going to take Spurs over every time. They will annihilate Spurs. But now with a new guy, my view has changed. I think man for man, Arsenal is still a better team than Spurs. I've been saying this for years, by the way. You know, out of bias either. You know, even a team with Xhaka in, to me, is still better than anything that Spurs can put together. But they've just, for some reason, they've had managers that managed to get them playing like a team, apart from the last one. It was hopeless. What was his name? Santa Claus, I always call him. But that guy, he was absolutely, I mean, they managed to get better results than I could possibly predict. Because every time I saw them, not that I watched the whole of their games normally, but the bits I saw, I thought, they don't look that good. But then suddenly when Conte's come in, all the clips I'm seeing in Spurs.
He's got them working again. But I think with Conte, with Spurs as well, you're right. In terms of the team, and like, aside from Kane and Son, there's no one in that team that I'd have over an Arsenal player. Really?
I wouldn't even have Kane personally, but that's maybe I just don't like
Kane. Kane over Lacazette any day for me. That's why City wanted him. So I think he'll do the same. But I think, and Son is, you know, rapid. He's very good finisher.
Yeah, I'd have him any day of the week. I'd find a place for him. No way he'd fit, but I'd get that guy. The rest of the team, none of them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a single Spurs player other than Son. I keep getting told, Koreans keep telling me, his name's Son, actually. It's not Son. I said, yeah, but everybody calls him Son. I get so confused with these pronunciations, actually. I wouldn't.
I don't know if you saw the Liverpool game. They played against Liverpool. I thought they played all right. Don't get me wrong. They played well. It was a good end-to-end game. But, you know, Kane should have been sent off. That's a different game. And then they get it to 2-1, and then Alisson, goes headless chicken mode and gets it to 2-2. And you're just thinking, well done, Spurs. You didn't lose. But fucking hell, everyone was blown out of all proportion. It was a decent game of football. And the pundits afterwards were like, Spurs are back, blah, blah, blah. So you drew. If Kane had been sent off, then you would have lost, and I thought Robertson should have been sent off. How Liverpool didn't get a penalty. And there's these fine margins in football. Football is a game of fine margins. But when you try and base a team being back and you ignore these fine margins, okay. And they did all right against Palace. Like, fair enough. They beat Palace at home, which, we didn't, I know. But I think, they are the... United certainly haven't kick-started yet under Ragnik. I think Spurs have kick-started under Conte. But with Conte, I think it's one of those... It'll go one of two ways. you know, they have, we've said this, they've got bang average players. You can only do so much with bang average players. And I just don't see Spurs, you know, performing that much above themselves on a regular basis because the players aren't that good. And you know, they've got a striker in Kane that wants to leave. You know, he wants to leave and he's not being allowed to leave. So I think that will, you know, when it starts going wrong again, that will rear its ugly head. So I just think, yeah, like maybe Conte will sign a fuckload of players in the summer. That's not really the Spurs way, though, is it? Don't spend that much money. So it'd be interesting to see, but I agree. They, for me, are the biggest challengers to us getting top four. 100%. Yeah. I think at the minute, currently speaking, they are. United, you know, there's a lot more work needed to be done at United for Ragnick. But, you know, I just saw something on Twitter now. I just find that Spurs' next three games in the league are Chelsea. Hang on, I'm just opening this.
Got Southampton first. Unless that game's been called off.
Spurs have got Watford away, Arsenal, and then Chelsea away. You know,
Got Southampton, he says here. Is that off? Southampton, I think it's today. Away from home at Southampton. Then Watford, then Chelsea. They're all away, yeah. Then they've got Morecambe in the cup. And then they've got Chelsea again. Two games against Chelsea.
They've got three games against Chelsea. They've got Chelsea in the league as well.
Of course.
That'll be bruising in Kansas. And that's good for us. Chelsea and Spurs kicking lumps out of each other. That's absolutely good for us. So they've got Southampton away, Watford away, us, and then Chelsea away. So, you know, I can't see them. Hopefully Southampton do us a favour today. But I think Spurs, you're right. I think Spurs are, for me, the main challengers to Arsenal. Arsenal getting top four. But I think Arsenal got to get the points on the board, which is important. And I think Arsenal are playing well. They're in good form. And for the future, for the medium-term, long-term future, it's looking promising, isn't it? You've got all these players under 23, and they're starting to deliver. You know, they're starting to deliver. They're starting to get goals and assists, which I think is the key sort of metric, if you will.
What about talking of players at that age? What about, young players? And Nketiah, what's going to happen with him, do you think?
I said this to my dad. He scored all these goals in the League Cup. There is a bit of a flat track bully vibe about him. I think if he goes in the summer, okay, fine. I think he's had time. Arteta sees him day in, day out on the training pitch. Arteta wants him to stay. I think Nketiah, he hasn't done the business for Arsenal on the pitch in the big games when he's come on in the league. I think he's better suited at the minute because I think he's got more experience than Balogun, who's the other striker at Arsenal. Balogun needs game time. Balogun needs a loan, right? Balogun needs a loan for me. But it doesn't help when you put Balogun on the left and then Nketiah up front. And clearly Balogun's a fucking... Balogun in 3 years' time could be the answer to Arsenal's striker problems now, if that makes sense. You know, he's got the pace.
Yeah. He's got everything.
He's got everything. He's just too raw for Arsenal to use him now, I think. And Arsenal don't want to waste time on him now. So... Nketiah, for me, he's like a poacher, isn't he? Like I would keep him for another couple of years. I think he wants to play, which is absolutely, commendable.
The only thing is, he's out of contract, isn't he? Isn't he out of contract this summer? So if he stays, you think they'll just let him go for free? Yeah, I mean, they might get a little bit of compensation because of his development, but
I think it's one of those, Arteta's never really rated him that much. Certainly not. Yeah, they want to give him a new contract. I think, they'll give him a new contract. It's like, he's still going to be a squad player. Like, do you want to carry on being a squad player at our team, or do you want to play full time for someone else? And I think Nketiah knows he's never going to be a starter. I think he'll always be a sub off the bench. And I think Arsenal go, okay, fine. You know, we've got Balogun. You know, in 6 months' time, we'll hopefully have a bit more experience, and he can be our off the bench striker. So I think, yeah, he'll go. I think we'll lose Aubameyang, Lacazette, Nketiah, all in the summer, all three of them. And I think what I wouldn't be surprised to see is Martinelli do a stint up, because he can play up top. And Arsenal possibly get a winger. Or, yeah, you have got the option as well. Smith Rowe on the left. Odegaard, Saka as your front, as your three. And then Martinelli up top. That's, you know, because we always say we get all four of them in. Well, we get all four of them in that way. But I think, yeah, I like Nketiah. I think, yeah, the minutes he's had, he hasn't, you know, he hasn't got the goals. And his business is all about goals, isn't it? There's that chance that he came on against Everton and he made a couple chances, like, fair enough, but he didn't take them. And you go, well, you know, that's your business, is to score goals. So I think he'll stay into the end of the year. I think Arsenal are going to go, you know, Lacazette, they've offered Lacazette a one-year contract. And he wants, no, I want a longer term deal. It's like, well, no, we've learned from our mistakes of Uber and Ozil. We're not giving a 31-year-old a 3-year deal. We're not fucking stupid. So I think Lacazette will leave. I think obviously Uber will leave. Uber's mad if he stays because he knows he's not wanted now. And he knows the players aren't in support of him as well. And I don't think he can play in the system as well. And I think Nketiah just wants minutes. So I think we'll lose all three of them, if I'm honest. I like Nketiah, but I don't like loss. It's like Willett for me.
Yeah, I'm sort of a little disappointed. But yeah, to me, even though he scored a really good hat-trick against Sunderland, to me, there's something, you know, his all-round play doesn't sort of enthuse me that much. Other than, yeah, he puts himself about. He will fight for the cause. Exactly. And he is a poacher. But there's something that's not quite there for me. And like I saw it in Balogun more, you know, but he's had limited opportunities, obviously, and he's even more raw than Nketiah. I just I never really felt Nketiah was going to make it at Arsenal. Same as Willock. I never thought, even though he'd scored all those goals for Newcastle, I just couldn't really see him. We saw glimpses, flashes of something that made us feel, yeah, this could be the future, but part of me thought, I'm just kidding myself, really. That, you know, the other guys like Martinelli, when you see flashes from him, they're a different level. They're a different level. You think this guy could be a world beater, even though I took a long time to get sold on Martinelli, I have to say. Smith Rowe, I always saw something in him. Saka, same goes for him. They had this sort of star quality that the others, like Nketiah, doesn't really have that. And I don't really know why, because he's scored quite a few goals. But as you said, it's that, does he really cut it against the top teams? And the answer is not particularly. He looks like he can be snuffed out relatively easily by a very, very good Premier League team and snuff him out. But I saw, you know, obviously I see him as a Premier League player, but not in the top reaches of the Premier League. I reckon mid-table. You know, a team like Wolves, for example, they could do with an Nketiah if they need him. I'm not even sure he'd walk into their team, but he would certainly be getting more action, wouldn't he? If he was a team like Wolves could do with him, I think. You know,
I agree. I think he's not suited to the top teams. Also, as well, I think the way Arsenal play, I don't think he's suited to the way that Arsenal want to play moving forward. I think Arsenal are looking for that big hold up the ball, links up the play, like a 9-point, like I said, like we said, 9.5 sort of striker. I like thinking Nketiah has got that in his locker. So I think, yeah, I don't think Arteta will be too upset if he goes. I think short term, we need him for now. And then I think, in the summer, we'll go, okay, yeah, you go play football. That's absolutely fine. We don't, you know, it's not an issue sort of thing. So I think that's what will happen, yeah.
And then what about the captaincy? Who would you appoint as captain?
Well, there's a couple. For me, Tierney. The only black spot against Tierney is he's injured. He's a bit injury prone.
He'll have more time to write his program notes, though, because he's always in the sick bay. So he'd be good at that.
But the other one is Odegaard.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
Because
he's
captain for Norway. And him wouldn't be a terrible idea. You've also got, I think, maybe Gabriel. I think Gabriel. The only problem with Gabriel is the language barrier.
Yeah,
I don't think he's English. Amazing.
What about Ramsdale?
Yeah, the problem, they've all got good arguments for. The only argument I have with Ramsdale against is he's goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's goalkeepers don't tend to, they're not, you know, defenders and midfielders are generally captains for good reason, aren't they? Because they're in the thick of it the whole time. It's a 90-minute battle for a defender or a midfielder. Whereas goalkeepers, they spend lots of the game, you know, not doing anything.
The thing with Ramsdale, he just gets his point across. He's a good communicator, great communicator.
No. That's the only thing I'd say against him is that he's the best. That's the only thing argument against him. He's fantastic. And he's a motivator. You can see the players respect him and they get on with him and they listen to him, all that sort of stuff. Oh, 100%. I think it's just his position. You don't see many goalkeeper captains, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I just think he's so outstanding. But the thing with Odegaard, we've seen him have games when he's not been on top of it, and we've also seen him on the bench this season. He's been on the bench, not last few games, but he was on the bench. I can't remember which games, but say 5 or 6 games ago, he was on the bench. So he's not a certain starter. I mean, he's starting to look like he is, but it's only recently. Yeah. Whereas Ramsdale, ever since he came in, he looks like this guy's our number one keeper for the foreseeable future. And if there's any players undroppable at the moment, and no player should be undroppable, it's him. It's not Odegaard. I mean, I wouldn't drop Odegaard. I'd give him, if Odegaard goes off the ball, I'd give him 2 or 3 games, you know, to see if he can recapture his form before dropping him. But Ramsdale, this guy has made such a difference. I've never seen a goalkeeper make such a difference to a team as this guy has. He just energizes everybody. So I can't. That I know what you mean. It's just unheard of, almost unheard of, to give the captaincy to a goalkeeper. But this guy's just out there. He's just, you know, he feels like he's, you know, he's not just a goalkeeper. He's an outfield player as well. That's how I feel about him. Because
he does play like a sweet.
Yeah. His whole attitude to the game. He's like, I'm part of this. Whether I get tested or not, I'm coming. You know, he runs out to clear the ball when like a sweeper. So he's almost part of the action. But I won't be upset if Odegaard. If Odegaard gets the captaincy, I think it's a good call. Because he's level-headed. I like his level-headedness. He'd be quite a quiet captain, I feel. Ramsdale would be a loud captain. So it sort of depends on what approach Arteta wants. And Tierney would be a very good captain, aside from that he's always injured. Well, not always, but, you know, a lot of the time. And that worries me, you know. So you don't think that you wouldn't give it to Xhaka then, because some people have suggested that Xhaka should have it again. Right.
No, I think that ship has sailed. I don't know what message that just doesn't send a positive message to me.
Not at all.
If not, give it to him. Don't get me wrong. As a player, I think, you know, he's important to Arsenal this season, and that's probably the nicest thing I can say about him. He's important to Arsenal this season, I think, short term, definitely. I just don't know what message that sends to the players if you give it to him, because they all know. And I think they like Xhaka, which is, you know, I can't fathom that sometimes, but they all do like Xhaka. But, you know, after what's happened, I think there's some things that are not unforgivable, but I think certainly you can't make him captain. I think and I think he is a bit of a leader. I think the players do respect him. But no, I wouldn't give it to him. But Arteta at the minute is doing the whole, I've got 5 captains thing, isn't he?
Say that again. He said something about 5 captains. do you say?
Yeah, well, he's got a group of leaders, hasn't he?
Phrased it's not quite the same as whoever it was. What was previous? Emery. Emery said we got five captains, didn't he? And how ridiculous was that? What a stupid thing to even think. Yeah. So I mean, but at the moment, obviously, and Lacazette, we haven't discussed him as a potential captain.
I think the problem with Lacazette is he's probably going to leave this year.
Yeah, that's the issue, really. Yeah.
He is captain as we speak, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, how? Yeah.
I think I've been impressed with Lacazette. His professionalism, like, he's been a good signing overall. I can't fault the man. You know, he's adapted to the way Arsenal want to play. He's helped the young players, and I think they look up to him. And I think he brings them into the game very well, all of that sort of stuff. But I just think, yeah, long term, he's not your man, is he?
No, and that's the issue. So, yeah, I think... So when would you make a decision? If you were Arteta, when would you decide on, you know, the next captain rather than at the moment it sort of seems a game-to-game thing, even though Lacazette's got it for now.
Yeah, but, it's strange, isn't it? I kind of thought Arteta would have sorted it out by now already, really. But, you know, he doesn't seem to be... I think maybe when it becomes an issue, though, it doesn't seem like it's an issue that we don't have a captain. Or we don't have a permanent captain. I think maybe give it to Lacazette at the end of the year and then reassess in the summer. Because I imagine we'll have another bit of a, not a clear out. I think we got rid of the majority of the deadwood, but we'll lose some players. So I think we'll have to get some new players in anyway. Maybe we'll get rid of like people like Mari, Suarez, people like that. But we have to wait and see, really.
And did you see the news about, I saw it on Daily Canon, about Ramsdale basically went on strike before he got his move? Did you realise that? Because I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, no, he admitted it, didn't he? He said it in an interview on some sort of podcast. Yeah, he basically said, "Oh, we'll accept offers for you that come in," and they didn't. So he was like, they said to him, "I'll play this game, and then we'll talk about it." And they went against their word, and he went, "Fine, I'm not going to play the next game." Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
It seems like Sheffield United didn't treat him too well because it says here, I didn't know about this story, but he said, normally if you don't get your move, you get a new contract. So him and his representative said that to Sheffield United. And then someone at Sheffield United, he won't name who it was, said, we didn't ask him to take less money when he was letting in goals last season. They rubbed him up the wrong way, basically. So then his reply was, "Well, I'm not going to play against West Brom. Do what you want to do." And then he didn't train. And the manager said, no, he'll be all right. He'll play. And he said, "No, I'm not playing." And then so next thing, he was on the way to Arsenal, he said. going on strike, brief strike, worked. It's just... The only thing is sometimes I worry about players that do that, but you can sort of see, I think he's just honest and he's just saying how it all came about.
But, well, he knows, he's not stupid. He knows, A, he's now playing full time, that he's number one at a proper Premiership team. You know, not a team that's going to get relegated. You know, this is a big team. This is the biggest team he's ever played for. He's got David Seaman is now a full-time coach at Arsenal. Because of the how good. Yeah. So I don't know if you know this. Seaman originally came in to help out Arsenal with Ramsdale. They saw what a great job he did early, like straight away, and the relationship that the two have. Seaman's now a full time coach.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's great. That's great news.
Connection.
Yeah.
They're both Yorkshire boys, aren't they? And so he's working with, like, he's got someone that's got to be an idol to him in some way. You know, David Seaman, great goalkeeper, great English goalkeeper, you know, all of that. you have to think that Rams are fucking loving life at the minute. So I don't think there's any chance, or there's very little chance that, you know, he's going to do that at Arsenal. But I think he's got to be happy with what's going on at Arsenal, really, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, definitely. Couldn't be better, really. Well.
Everyone loves him at Arsenal.
Yeah, even his detractors. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I think we mentioned neither of us were totally sold on the idea of bringing him in, but we weren't, neither of us were particularly against it either. We just thought it was a lot of money to pay. That was all. I mean, some of the other podcasts absolutely caned Ramsdale before he even arrived. They said, what the hell are we doing? Spending all this money on somebody who always gets relegated wherever he goes. And they were just absolutely caning the guy before he'd even sort of picked a ball out of the net for Arsenal. Everyone, well, not everyone, but because we sort of, I think we sat on the fence a little bit on that one.
You had to have some hope that Arteta knew what he was doing. And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't, we might have said this before on the podcast, his transfers this in the summer, all of them have been fantastic. All of them have been absolutely fantastic.
Players that have come in.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm over the players that have come in. You know, they've been absolutely great. Tomiyasu.
If we went through the, I mean, I'd give Ramsdale 10 for the impact he's made, and Tomiyasu is pretty close to a 10 as well. I'm not sure if I could give him less. Those two in particular have been absolutely outstanding. Lokonga, it's got to be at least an 8.
Lokonga's been great. He's come in, he's played straight away, isn't he? Like, he's not, you know, he's not been a bit part player. Like, he's played lots of games. Maybe a bit earlier than expected, I'd say. But he's certainly, you know, he's playing lots of games. I would struggle to think. Who else have you got? Tavares. Tavares has come in and played. He's been a great backup for Tierney.
He's at least an 8 as well. Some days he's a 9 for me. You know, I just look at this guy and think, this Tierney, at one point I was saying, how's Tierney going to get back in the team? At one point I was thinking that, but then he sort of went off the boil a little bit. But even when he plays badly, he's not bad, you know. That's the thing. By his own standards, he's just got so much going forward. He's so good going forward. And he's not bad defensively. And he's a big unit as well. So no one's going to intimidate Tavares.
I like his confidence as well. Like, even after he had a stinker versus Liverpool, that next game he was still, you know, he played like it didn't matter, you know, which is fantastic.
Ben White,
with Gabriel at the minute. You know, we've got one of the best defenses in the league. So again, you know, who else did we sign?
I'm struggling. Was there anyone else? It was just them. Because he was already in, but only on loan. So, yeah, he's a 9 for me. So, yeah, there will be 8s or 9s or 10s, all of them.
Every single one.
Odegaard just fitted in. Well, we knew he would fit in. Of course, we knew from previously. But then there was that worry that it was going to be the way Willock's been for Newcastle. Initially, I was thinking, well, now that he's got his move, is he that good? And the truth is, he's probably even better than what he was on loan lately.
He's done better this year than he did last year.
Yeah, which I can't believe we're even saying this, actually. Because on loan, I liked him enough to want to sign him on loan after his loan period. I just thought, got to get this guy in. I love the way he sort of tears around the pitch, like with stamina is no object. He just runs around like a blue-ass fly, really, and red-ass one, I suppose you'd say. He runs around and he just tireless. But then he started showing a bit of wear and tear at one point. I mean, he had run around like a lunatic, but he doesn't run around like a headless chicken. That's the thing. I say like a lunatic, but he just has no sort of He's got incredible stamina, that guy. Incredible stamina. And I love to see that. I love it when Arsenal have players that I know it's a basic thing, but I think it's really important the amount of grass they cover in a match. You know, because the issue I always had with recent teams, not this team, but in the recent past, was the players look quite lethargic. And I just don't see, unless they're absolute, or even if they're really gifted, if they're lethargic, I can't see how they're going to turn over every team. Because you've just got to put the miles in. And I think especially now, the way the game is,
You look at Liverpool, all of those players put in yards. There's no slackers in the Liverpool. Yeah. And I think, you know, that we are trying to create our own version of how Liverpool and City play. And certainly, I think, you know, there are no slackers in those teams.
Yeah, that's pretty sure. Right, have we got anything else to say on the year that's gone? From an Arsenal perspective?
No, I think it's been a good year. I think certainly at the beginning of the year we weren't confident, were we? But you know, it really was that Chelsea Boxing Day win and the introduction of Smith Rowe has completely turned around. And I think saved Arteta's career. Like it was a gamble. Like it wasn't pre-planned. It was a gamble, and it completely changed Arteta's way of thinking. Project Youth is the way forward, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, and funny you got the number 10 shirt. I don't know if you saw, who was it? What's his name? Wilshere. Wilshere was getting, he was on Talk Sport, I think. And Wilshere, they asked him, how did you get the number 10 shirt? And he just said, well, I just went in and asked for it. And they gave it to me. It was that simple. I don't know if it was as simple for Smith Rowe. I guess it was. But I was a little bit worried. Not very, but I was a little bit worried when he got the number 10 because I just thought, When a player gets a number 10 shirt, it's a bit like the captain's armband. There's a lot of weight of expectation that goes with it. And sometimes there are certain numbers, and obviously the captain's armband, that are cursed. You know, like, it's a bit like, what do they call it? Like a poison chalice. You know,
The number 10, certainly in South American culture, is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's my favorite number. I want to wear number 10 all the time. Whenever the shirt numbers were up for grabs, I would always either get it or try to get the number 10 shirt. And if I didn't get it, I wouldn't lose sleep over it. But I just thought that's the number I want. But I think it's partly because of the position. You know, that if you're number 10, you're the creator rather than the goal scorer. Like a nine, if you're a nine, the weight, there's a different weight of expectation. You're expected to score goals, whereas a 10 is expected to create. But he's scoring goals as well. I just cannot believe how many goals he's got. It's about eight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and because Arteta said to him at the end of last season, he's like, I'm impressed with what you've done, but I want to see more goals. I want 15 goals a season from you. That's the target.
Yeah, he may well get it. Where he's going. Target. Yeah.
But that's what you want from your midfielder, isn't it? Like you want, I think he knew Aubameyang was, you know, not the force he was. And I think Arsenal struggled with goals last year and we struggled some all around the pitch. But if you look at how many, certainly the four young players, they're all contributing goals and assists. You know, it's not just one player now. Even when Aubameyang was on fire the season before last, it was him, wasn't it? That was it's all on him. And I think Arteta obviously realised that he needed to get away from that, mostly just because, you know, Aubameyang wasn't the force he was, and so of course we needed to get away from it. But it's very encouraging. So, you know, long may it continue, really.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so anything else before we hit the music, or is that it?
No, I think that's enough for one day.
This went on longer than expected, but we had a lot to catch up on. Because the last one we did was a Man U game. Do you remember our aborted attempt to try to commentate? That was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, it was sort of hilarious for me, because I was going, oh, and you were going, what? And I said, oh, sorry, I'm a couple of minutes in front of you. But
Yeah, love that. Yeah.
But yeah. All right, so we'll leave it there then. And we wish everybody a Merry Christmas, even though it's a bit late in the day to do that. It's not going to stop me. And Happy New Year for all the Arsenal fans and, of course, for the Arsenal team. Let's hope it's a good one, as one of the lyrics of one song says. Right, I'll end it there.